Okay, good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here today, and it's really kind of cool to be the first speaker of the day. So hopefully, maybe this room will fill up as we go. So my name is Ashraf Tubeli, and I work for the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. So today I'll be talking about biomass productivity from some perennial C4 species in a northern climate. So our group of researchers is spread all across Ontario, and you see Ontario, that's kind of the map of Canada over there. I was pointing at myself. Canada is there, the US is here, and Ontario is this part of Canada. It's a major chunk of central Canada, if you want. So we have a few spots, a few research sites, I should say, across the province of Ontario, and my work is mostly here in Winchester and Kemptville, so Winchester and Kemptville. And we have been looking at a few native grasses, like prairie grasses, things like switchgrass, big blue stem, little blue stem, Indian grass, prairie cord grass, and then we have also looked at miscanthus, so we have studied a number of genotypes from miscanthus that I don't think I have the time to talk about today. So we have looked at different species and varieties for those. We also investigated the different planting densities, seeding rates, if you want, and the effect of nitrogen, and also the effect of the harvesting time, whether that's the fall or the spring. So for our sites in eastern Ontario, Kemptville and Winchester, we have looked at switchgrass, big blue stem, and Indian grass, and miscanthus in those sites. So our site is characterized by 135 or almost 135 frost-free days. So we plant our corn in the first week of May or last week of April, and then the first killing frost is third week of September. So we have loamy sand in this site in Kemptville. We started some experiments in 2009, and we started some of those with three different seeding rates. So those roughly correspond to 10 pounds to the acre, 14 pounds to the acre, and almost 18 pounds to the acre. The numbers here are in pure live seed per square meter. And then we looked at two different nitrogen levels, so 0 and 50 kilograms per hectare. So some of the things that we noticed is that for switchgrass, so here we have two varieties of switchgrass. So we have Sunburst with S, so this is the red bars here, and then we have Kevin Rock, like the darling of the bioenergy systems so far. So we looked at three different seeding rates and two nitrogen rates. So the take-home message from this is that maybe for some big blue stem, or some, sorry, for Sunburst, and also we'll see in a different slide, big blue stem would also respond to the increase in seeding rate to an extent. So it doesn't really matter if you go like beyond, you know, like 14 pounds to the acre of seed or 1,000 seeds per square meter. You won't get that much response. You won't get that much benefit beyond that. And the other take-home message from this is there was some effect of the nitrogen. So the 50 kilograms of nitrogen had some effect, although the variability didn't let us get a statistical difference or significance, if you want, between the treatments. So this is just a continuation of that same study. So here, three other genotypes, big blue stem, or entries, I should say. So two varieties of big blue stem and one variety of Indian grass. So more or less the same effect of the seeding rate. So the medium seeding rate might be good enough to give you the best yield, while nitrogen again showed some effect on the different, especially on big blue stem, not that much on Indian grass, but on big blue stem we could see that there was an effect from the nitrogen application. So in terms of yields, this is in 2012, so the numbers before were from the year before, 2010. So in terms of yield, in 2011, and this is just 2 years after establishment, right? So We could eke out yields as big as 10 tons or 10 megagrams to the hectare in terms of given rock switchgrass, a little less in terms of sunbirds, and for the prairie view and round tree big blue stems, the yield was even less. For Indian grass, it seems that this is a species that is slow to establish, so it needed a longer period of time to give us a higher yield. So this is in 2012, so you see the increase, especially from those. So these two here were more or less the same in terms of like compared to the year before, or even the year here in Kevin Rock dropped from 10 tons to the hectare to 8 tons to the hectare. And for those who have a long memory, 2012 was a dry year, so throughout the Midwest and also for us in Eastern Canada. So, and it seems that switchgrass was the most affected by that drought. Not that much for big blue stem or Indian grass. But Indian grass has come a long way from 3 or 4 tons to the hectare now to be almost touching 8 tons to the hectare. Another year of data here. Well, this is a spring harvest compared to the fall harvests before. So for a spring harvest, we still could get 10 megatons to the hectare, megagrams to the hectare, or 10 tons to the hectare for sunburst, switchgrass, given rock, a little less, and then these three species came after in terms of the yield. Again, the nitrogen, the effect of the nitrogen, and here the error bars represent the standard deviation. So we have been seeing a huge variability in terms of in terms of production for those varieties, especially when it comes to the spring harvest. And this is because some plots will have lost maybe lots of their yield due to the snow and to the winter effect, and other ones were not as much affected. So there was some variability. So just to summarize those numbers from the different years. So for the 5 species here, we have 5 species and 2 nitrogen rates. So the dotted lines represent the 0 nitrogen, and then the solid lines represent 50 kilograms nitrogen. So the take-home message from this is that for some species, they're just slow to establish, like big blue stem and Indian grass. They start really low here, when switchgrass started fairly high compared to the other ones. So switchgrass was, this is 2012, so the famous year with the drought. So what happened here is that drought kind of squeezed all the varieties, you know, like to get more or less a similar yield, because some were not very responding to drought, and then switchgrass was affected by drought, so they all came almost to the same location here. I know this is a crowded slide or crowded chart, but again, switchgrass in 2013 kept going up, and this is 4 years after its establishment, so the yield has been increasing steadily. Another harvest for the 5 different species in 2014. So here we have started with 6 nitrogen rates instead of just the 2 nitrogen levels. So we have between 0 and 150 kilograms per hectare. And you see there is kind of a trend for more or less all of the species. And the error bars here again show the variation that we're having in terms of the different plots. But like we can see here for these species, the different species we're looking at, Indian grass is already exceeding, and this is a spring harvest, already exceeding the switchgrasses here. And in terms of the response to nitrogen, maybe like these two nitrogen, and we didn't have stat analysis done on these yet, so it's just kind of preliminary results that I'm sharing here with you. So for the highest nitrogen concentrations, 120, 150, big blue stem was a little responsive, more responsive to that than the other varieties. For the other varieties, maybe kind of a medium nitrogen rate was enough to get or to achieve the highest yields. In terms of moisture content, we saw that for some species, the moisture content increased with nitrogen application. This is 50 kilograms per hectare. And for other species, it dropped actually. So the different entries were not consistent in terms of how they responded to increasing nitrogen. In terms of plant height, that's more or less, to an extent, for at least for switchgrass, it seems this is a genetic trait, so it's not that much affected by nitrogen, or at least under our conditions, it's not affected by nitrogen. Now, we looked at other things like leaf nitrogen concentration, and also leaf potassium, leaf phosphorus, so mineral concentrations in leaves. So applying nitrogen resulted in higher nitrogen concentration in the leaves, and that's for all species. For the stem, more or less the same thing for some entries, but not for switchgrasses. So applying more nitrogen didn't really translate into higher nitrogen in the stem. For potassium, this is kind of an interesting situation here. We saw a big difference in terms of potassium concentration in the leaves for prairie view and round tree big blue stems. Another increase also for switchgrass, but nothing changed for Indian grass in terms of potassium concentration. So for the stems, again, a mixed message here. So some species increased, some other ones did not really increase. So this is an interesting slide, and this slide shows the ash concentration in the leaves as affected by nitrogen application. And as you see here, somehow the ash concentration dropped when we applied nitrogen to the different entries. So at least for some species, it dropped. And this is of prime importance when it comes to biomass and to bioenergy systems, because ash is something that the processors don't want to have. Oh. This is my time?
It's on silent. Sorry. That's 12 minutes. Please.
That's 12
continue.
Minutes. Okay. Okay. So another reading, which is SPAD absorbance of the leaves, that is more or less kind of correlated to nitrogen concentration in the leaves. So an effect with nitrogen. This is a miscanthus. I'll skip this. So the conclusion is that we have variable establishment and survival between the species. So some species tend to be slow establishing compared to other ones. The high planting density is okay if you're not really kind of worried about the additional costs from those. Big blue stem and Indian grass are more drought tolerant, and dry matter production under our climate, which is a very short growing season climate, could easily reach above 10 tons to the hectare. And higher nitrogen reduced ash concentrations. Now, a couple of publications and a couple of suggestions. And I'd like to acknowledge at the end the contribution from the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Affairs in Ontario. And thank you very much.
We have time for questions.
I think, were you harvesting once a year? Or
yes.
Sometimes you had a spring only.
It's either spring only or fall only, yes. It's only once a year.
What kind of decline did you get in 2012 percentage-wise
with the drought? With the drought for switchgrass, we saw the decline like maybe 20 to 25% in terms of yield. Now the other, like big blue stem and Indian grass, didn't really care about the drought, so they just kept going up. And maybe this is also related to their establishment, that it's slower than switchgrass. So, and maybe they're more stemmy, less leafy, and we're looking into that now. So maybe their water kind of consumption, water demand, is not as intense as switchgrass.
That's the exact result I got in the early that year. 25% of switchgrass, 50%.
Okay.
That.
Awesome. Yes.
Do you have any problem with weed kill or reduction of the stand and the meters of any of the species?
Okay, so with winter kill, we had a big problem with miscanthus. Mm-hmm. not with those, because those are more or less native to the, like to North America, to the Great Plains area of North America, right? So they're adapted to the winter, even to harsher winters than our winter. So there was no issue with those, as long as they're well established in the summer. And this is maybe the other thing we noticed for Miscanthus. Sorry, I didn't have time to present Miscanthus results. So for Miscanthus, we tried different genotypes. We tried one time, we tried 24 different genotypes. And then in another experiment, we tried four of those genotypes. So what we noticed with Miscanthus is that the plots that would survive the first summer and the first winter would just keep going. And the ones that would die at that time, they're just done. So usually it seems, or at least maybe for the last four or five winters that we had, the winter was not harsh enough, or maybe we had enough cover, snow cover, you know, like to protect the Miscanthus from winter kill. Other than that, the Miscanthus is doing great. And we have some numbers, like some plots are reaching 35 tons to the hectare for Miscanthus.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.